Today is Father's Day. I want to read to you a story that Jesus told. And I want you to keep in mind, the story is not about the boy. The story is about the Father. And when Jesus is telling this story, he is telling it to illustrate what kind of heavenly Father we have. Listen. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, his younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.'" So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and am no longer worthy of being called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Quick! Bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for on his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and is now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found." So the party began. I found this written in F. Thought it was kind of cute. Listen to it. You can read it with me. "Feeling footloose and frisky, a feather-brained fellow forced his fond father to fork over the farthings, and flew far to foreign fields and frittered his fortune. Feasting fabulously with faithless friends, fleeced by his fellows in folly, and facing famine, he found himself in a filthy farmyard. Fairly famishing, he fain would have filled his frame with foraged food with fodder fragments. 'Fooey, my father, flunkies fare far finer,' the frazzled fugitive frankly faced facts, frustrated by failure and filled with foreboding, fled forthwith to his family. Falling at his father's feet, he forlornly fumbled, 'Father, I flunked. I fruitlessly forfeited family favor. The far-sighted father, forestalling further flinching, frantically flagged the flunkies to fetch a flatling from the flock and fixed a feast. The fugitive's fault-finding brother frowned on fickle forgiveness and former fodder roll, but the faithful father figured, filial fidelity is fine, but the figurative fugitive is found. What forbids fervent festivity? Let flags be unfurled, let fanfares flare, so further forgiveness form the foundation for the former fugitive's future fortitude. Kate Smith.
That was in her book. The guy that wrote that's name is Fred Frank.
Putting silliness aside, let's talk about one of the greatest needs in the world today. Kate McGoey Smith said, "It is being recognized more and more. Its effects are being felt over several generations. It is repairable only by the men in our society. It is within the true domain of home improvement. It is known as father hunger. Father hunger is painfully felt by several generations. Grown men, some of them fathers themselves, feel a longing and an emptiness created by the absence of fathering. I'm well aware there are many. When you say the word father, they don't know what the experience means. Fathers have hurt many people. Fathers have failed in many ways. So I thought on this Father's Day, it would be an appropriate occasion to take a look at the heart of a father. Fathers are a gift from heaven. Not all of them realize that, and not all of them fulfill that. Of course, everyone knows how sweet and wonderful mothers are. Hello, ladies. But today I'd like to look at the story Jesus told about a very special father. The reason this father was special is because Jesus was using him to describe what the Heavenly Father is really like. I know there's a lot of times when we think about God and we think about our Heavenly Father, we think, well, my goodness, He's way off and He really doesn't care, and how in the world are we going to ever know what a father should be? And that's the reason Jesus told this story. A lot of people call it the story of the prodigal son. But I want to call it the prodigal father. You see, the word prodigal means recklessly extravagant. The love that our Heavenly Father has for us, I'm telling you, is recklessly extravagant. And is able to feel the father hunger within us. How can God's extravagant love fulfill the hunger that we all have within us to have a Father who loves and who cares and who understands? I want us to look at the characteristic of the prodigal father. I want us to see how our Heavenly Father showers each of us with His extravagant prodigal love. Amen. I want you to notice that first of all, the prodigal father gives. Verse 12. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." And so he divided his property between them. Now for a son to ask this of his father went against all the Jewish values and their culture. Sons were to honor their fathers, giving them honor, respect, submission, and obedience. This son clearly did not honor his father. In fact, some would believe that demanding his inheritance was equivalent to saying, "Father, I wish you were already dead." The Old Testament consequence for a son who didn't honor his father or mother was death. They took them out and stoned them. The same chapter also explains that the firstborn received two shares of the inheritance. Therefore, this second son would have received one third of the estate. I'm assuming he was a wealthy farmer, and that could have been the equivalent of a few hundred thousand dollars in today's economy. Most people, including many who were listening to Jesus that day, would consider this son to be a waster. Most would consider him to be a good-for-nothing, lazy, worthless young man. Furthermore, they would have also viewed the father as foolish because he was willing to give so much wealth to a foolish young man. This son was very undeserving, yet the father gave him what he was asking for. Does that mean that the father should, that a father today should give the kids anything they want? No. But it points out the heart of this father. His love for this son, so great that he was willing to give a third of his estate. I'm sure that wasn't convenient for him at the time. I want you to see that our Heavenly Father is much more generous with us than we deserve. How many of us have gone against our Heavenly Father? How many of us have sinned? How many of us have almost spit in His face? How many of us have gone against His will and His desires in living our lives, and yet He loved us so much that He was willing to give His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. James said, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. God so loved that He gave. His nature is to give. Even though we deserve nothing good, God's Son Jesus is just like His Father." Somebody say amen. Paul said in Ephesians 5, "Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her." Aren't you glad that He gave? Our Father in heaven is a giving Father that shows us what kind of fathers we need to be and ought to be. It shows us what kind of people we ought to be. We need to be like the Father, recklessly, extravagantly giving to those who are in need. Secondly, I want you to notice in verses 13 through 19, the prodigal father waited. The next several verses here, we don't hear a whole bunch about the Father. We hear about the Son spending his money and finding a job tending pigs and getting so hungry that he would have eaten with the hogs. We don't hear a lot about the Father, but guess what he was doing back home? He was praying, believing, trusting that his Son will come to his senses and return home. He was eagerly waiting for his boy to come back to him. As the story progresses, the foolish son goes to the far country. Those listening to Jesus would have thought of places like Italy and North Africa and Egypt and Babylonia and far countries. While there, he blew everything and he found himself feeding pigs for a living. Now, there was another Jewish story that was told about a foolish son who wasted all that he had and ended up feeding pigs. But that was the end of the story. Those listening to Jesus expected the story to end right there. The moral would be, to what the Jews' story heard, don't disrespect your Father, nor squander what God has given you. Otherwise, you may end up like the foolish son, feeding pigs for a living. Understand that no Jews have anything to do with pigs. They're the most despicable thing that could ever happen to you if you had to take care of pigs. The listeners were ready to agree with the moral of this passage and move on. Something else. However, Jesus surprised them that day. Continuing on with the story. In his sorry state, the son tempted to eat pig food. However, he got to thinking, even my father's servants eat better than this. I think I'll go back and give my best I'm sorry speech. You ever given them, I'm sorry, honey, I'm sorry. I don't want to sleep on the couch tonight, honey. I'm sorry. Huh? That's what he was going to do. And see if he could get a decent meal. So he planned to say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and you. And now that word heaven often takes the place of God's name. Because you see, the Jews would not speak God's name. It was too hallowed, too holy, holy. So they would simply say heaven. So in that way, he was going to say, Father, I've sinned against God and against you. And I'm no longer worthy to be your son. But could I be your servant? Now, we don't really know whether or not the son was sincere or just hungry. The latter seems more likely, considering his less than noble character that he was. Amen? Maybe he was just going to put this on so that he could get something to eat. However, watch what happens when he returns home. And that leads to the third point of the prodigal father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him. He's waiting, anxiously praying for his son to come back home, and he is watching. And one day he sees him. Father's heart seeks to save that which was lost, like our Heavenly Father's heart. And I believe the Father had already seen His Son return in His dreams. He had prayed for it. He had envisioned it. And he had been waiting for it. And he was watching and looking, expecting it to happen. And lo and behold, as he looks down the lane one day, he sees his lost boy coming home. Like our Heavenly Father sees us coming home when we have sinned, when we have gone against Him, when we have done God wrong, when we have sinned against our Heavenly Father. He's waiting in heaven. He's watching for us. And He is looking. He is expecting us to return to Him and come to Him. Can you see the long lost being found? Can you see the salvation that's about to come to pass? Your Father has that kind of heart. Your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father. I want you to put your name where I say your. Jonathan's Heavenly Father. Eric's Heavenly Father. Donnie's Heavenly Father. Amen. Jesse's Heavenly Father. Cora's Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, He longs for you. He longs to bring you into the fold. I want you to know next in verse 20 that this prodigal father feels. His father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. I want you to know our Heavenly Father feels compassion for us. Remember the times that Jesus was moved with compassion. On one occasion, He even sat and wept over Jerusalem. Here's the picture of your Heavenly Father. He is filled with compassion for you. He loves you. He cares about you. Our Heavenly Father feels compassion for those who suffer and are beaten down by life. He feels compassion even for those who squander their lives away and waste what He has given them. God cares and He hurts for everyone else who hurts. There's a pretty good chance that the son looked pretty sorry sight that day. Had no money. You probably only had one set of clothes. If you've ever been to a pig pen, you know how they smell. That's probably what was on his clothes. He had been feeding the pigs. He came straight from the pig pen home. Not even had shoes by this time, or they were in tatters, because the father said here, bring the sandals to put on his feet. God feels your pain. Whatever you may have gone through or are still going through, my Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father loves you. He has compassion for you. Whether your problems are your fault or not, doesn't matter. He loves you. He cares for you. I want you to see that next, the prodigal father runs. He ran to his son. Now this guy, I'm supposing, is getting close to my age. And he's got those farmer's robes on. Now for him to run, he probably had to pull his, never pull your pant legs up to run. Glory! My boy's home! My boy! followed him, and he took off running down the road. And as he ran, he was filled with compassion. He was filled with love for this boy. That's extravagant on his part. You know, I guess a lot of them would say, well, what got into you that you're coming home? Not your heavenly Father. What's the matter with you that you're back? You want some more? Is that all it is? You want a little more? You think I got some more money for you? Not the heavenly Father. Jesus is telling the story of our Heavenly Father, regardless of who we are, what we've done, where we've been, He'll run to us. And I can almost see our Heavenly Father. It might seem silly to you, but I believe that every time some of His lost children come home to Him, He gets excited. I don't know about you, when you had your first child. Liz, how did Eric act when Gwen was born? He had her all the time. I know how he acts over the grandkids. Have any of you seen any of the grandkids? Well, Tom and Marcia don't have any yet. Boys, hurry up and grow up. Hazel and Bill, you have grandkids. Oh, coo 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 coo. Hi, sweetie. Oh, you're so cute. And have you ever acted like that? Huh? I get around little kids, I go, or I wiggle my ears. Get excited over these little kids. What do you think God feels like? His son was lost. He runs to him. And in verse 20, not only does he run to him, he ran, he threw his arms around him, stinking, smelling pig, whatever, and holds him and kisses him. My boy is home. Our Heavenly Father loves you just like that. He doesn't care what you've been involved in the past. He don't care what kind of slop you have all over you. Amen? He was ready to embrace him. Pig manure and everything. Pull him close. I want you to notice, getting to a close here, I've got 5 minutes. The prodigal father restores sonship. The boy went through this thing. Father, I don't know whether he was sincere or not. I've sinned against God and I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He said the words. But I want you to see the father's expression. What did he do? Boy, we'll take you in, we'll get you all cleaned up. I'll get you some slave clothes and you can go down and live with the slaves and the servants. Huh? No, no, no. Not this father. We see the father giving what is totally undeserved. What an awesome picture of the grace of God. He said, bring the best robe in the house. Was probably his daddy's best robe that he had. Bring the ring to put on his finger is probably the family signet ring. And when he slipped that ring back over his knuckle, he was saying to this boy, you are now back in the family. You're my son. You're not my servant. You're my son. He said, bring the sandals. You see, the servants didn't wear sandals. Only the family wore the sandals. The servants carried the sandals around for the family. He put the sandals on his feet. He was saying, I restore you to full sonship. Oh, wow. And after that, he said, let's celebrate. Bring the fatted calf. Kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this my son who was dead is now alive again. He was lost, but now he is found. Somebody say praise the Lord. The Heavenly Father rejoices. Listen to Zephaniah 3 and 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over you with singing. My boy that was lost is now found. He that was dead is now risen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
That's our Heavenly Father. Don't ever think that you're not loved. Don't ever think that you're not cared for. When you come to Jesus, when you come to God, when you come to the Heavenly Father, you realize somebody who loves you so much, he's willing to make you one of his own. John said, behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us that we should be called the children of God. John exclaiming as if he's seeing it for the first time. Wow! Woo! Look! This is incredible! We actually are called sons and daughters of Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
I belong to the Heavenly Father. He's wrapped His arms around me. He's washed the manure of the world off. He has cleansed my soul from sins. He has accepted me. And He has written my name down in His family book in heaven. And He has rejoiced and sung over me. And you just as well. Father's heart overflows with generosity and love. He loves you. I don't care what experience you've had with fatherhood down here. When you step into the realm of fatherhood with Him, it's a whole different story. Welcome to His family. Would you stand with me? There just might be somebody here this morning. You feel like the boy when it comes to your relationship with the Heavenly Father. You feel like you've failed Him. You feel like you've done. I want you to pray that prayer that the boy prayed. Right now, pray. Pray it with me. Father God, I have sinned against you. And I have sinned against your Son Jesus. I am not worthy to be called one of your children. But I ask you to forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me from the sins of my flesh. Wrap your loving arms around me and draw me in close to you and call me one of your own. You're now his child. Amen. Happy Father's Day. Oh.